Bam! What does that mean? That means builders of the ancient mysteries. And today we're going to be talking about our ancient sites all around the world with filmmaker Patrice Pouliard, talking about sites all around the world, an investigation into the past of our civilization, where they visit the greatest archaeological sites all over the planet. And he's going to take us with us today on Truth Be Told. We're going to visit the Great Pyramid, Easter Island, Machu Picchu, Chichen Itza, and many, many more. Why? Because similarities in the structure, the architecture, the technology are very similar. Did we lose this technology to build such great structures that lasted thousands, tens of thousands of years? We'll find out today, right here on Truth Be Told. I'm Tony Sweet with Truth Be Told. Please welcome to the Truth Be Told studios for the first time, Patrice Pouliard. Patrice! How are you?
Hi, everybody. Hi, Tony. Yeah, it's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. And all the way, are you in France right now? Or?
Yes, I'm in a little place in France, in the forest, because it's summer time for me.
Oh, nice.
And I'm very happy to be here with you and to have this conversation together, the movie. And it's just a joy.
It's a joy, too, because this is one of my favorite subjects. You know, we talk about, you know, ghosts and aliens and UFOs and also ancient sites. And that's one of my biggest things that I love to do is go to historical sites and ancient sites. I haven't got to travel around the world like you. I've been to a few, I'm excited to see through your eyes and get to journey to these places through your filmmaking. So I appreciate you putting this all together. And Builders of the Ancient Mysteries is something I actually come across on Amazon Prime. And I was excited to reach out, and you said you would love to come on the show. So I'm going to go on this journey. We're all going to go on this journey with you today. So first of all, filmmaker in France, how did this project come about? What was it like always a project that you've always wanted to do? Is it just kind of you fell into it? How did it come about?
No, I used to be a normal or casual guy a long time ago. I was working in the commercial industry. I was doing some commercials, and I wanted to do some fiction movies, feature films.
Right.
And I'm passionate with writings and the dramaturgy and the art of writing scripts. That I think in the USA you have the best writers we can find. And sometimes, like my I would just say that he was an American teacher, and he said, mm-hmm. In the USA we don't have original project, but we know how to write and to tell a story.
Right.
But in Europe, a lot of original project, but you don't know how to tell a story. So it was at the beginning I was like this, using I to me, making movie was the best things to put some people in empathy, because I think you can live a life or a character
right.
which could be a totally different view. There's a lot of example. You can be a young guy, an old woman, and so it was meaning a medium to do some philosophy with people and to make them with empathy, because I think that the only thing that could save our society, save our world, and make peace, bring peace to the world, is empathy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was writing some script, and I was shooting some cheese on the sunset, and the beautiful cheese or Big Mac or thing like this, and I realized what it was, and I was winning a lot of money. And but I realized what it was, and the project, and what I was doing. There was no meaning at all.
Right.
And at 20, I was skeptical. I was and I was not interested by the ancient sites. And I didn't know. I didn't even know that some people discussed the hypothesis, the academic hypothesis. And there's no story for me about this. And I crossed like life is working sometime. I crossed the path of someone who were very interested to this topic, this subject, and
Right.
it gave me a lot of things to read. And it was the beginning of a long quest of 6 years. And during these 6 years, I was discovering all the subject, the alternative part and the academic. I don't know if it's academic, a casual part, like in university or science, archaeology. And but at 6 years later, I was convinced that there's something to dig, and it will be very interesting to go on site because. I was little. I want to see with my eyes, and went to Egypt in 2005. This, what I told you at the beginning, was in 1999, and I went on Egypt first time in 2005, and I realized that of course that the huge, huge problem, and there's a huge gap between what is currently said. And what we can see on the all the problems, the difficulties to put some 100 tons blocks together,
Right.
like you see in the Valley Temple,
Right.
for example. And then at this time, I say, okay, I spent 6 years of my life because I had at this time a lot of time because when you're doing some commercials, you don't work a lot. So I had the time to read and to do a lot of research. And at this time, I said to myself, okay, you have spent six years studying this. Now you see that there is a problem, and there's a lot of question and a lot of question that need to be answered, but answered in the right way, rational way. I'm not some story for young boys because we can go on it, but what is said about the ancient Egyptian is like a story. It's not written anywhere
Right.
on the first dynasties. It's not written anywhere. And the first to speak about the Great Pyramid was Herodotus, and it was at least more than 2,000 years after. It's the same that if someone
That's
if
strange.
someone's go is talking to you now
Right.
about the time of the Christ, okay? So,
Yeah.
okay, he said it's a tomb, and I wanted to put all the facts together because there were a lot of things all around the world, and I wanted to put all the facts together to make people think about this, know the project, and then go to the archaeologist and to say, "Oh, have you seen what they say? What is your point?" And I wanted to have a scientific debate, but it was not the case. And it was very, very interesting. It was my first movie. I made in 2010 Revelation of the Pyramids. And this movie was for me, I did not earn any money with this because there were a lot of problems in the production and the movie was hacked. And then it went on the web and it went all around the world.
Right.
And it's one of the most seen movie about the subject
right
in the world. And it was quite, I have made it like a Da Vinci Code movie with an informant, an investigator. And because I was worried that people could annoy themselves in looking at the facts and the stones, and because it's a technical movie.
Right.
So I wanted to tell a story. And I thought that the religious people and the creationists, for example, for the book, the religion book, will not be happy. But they let me quiet. But in the mainstream media and archaeology and Egyptology, oh, it was a very, very strong answer, reaction. Very, very deep, strong. They were furious. They were, and they treat me like I'm, they say, I'm pseudo scientist. I'm promoting the Nazi, and they write this
right
in Wikipedia, in some articles. I'm promoting the idea of the Nazi. Movie was secretly talking about superior race of human, different human, strong, more clever. But if you have seen the movie, you say, but it's in your mind. It's not in the movie. So I was thinking about this, and I said, what's the problem? It's like they react, they're scientists, but they react as religious guys. And I say, that's not normal. Why can't we have a debate, normal debate?
Right.
Because I have, in Revelation of the Pyramids, some, of course, there's some mistakes. But if you don't want to do some mistakes, don't do anything. Because when you are looking for the answer, you are you're searching, and then it's like it's always like this. Mm-hmm. You have to go on and to go on, and then with the time, because I was talking with a stonecutter, lots
right.
of people, and then I say I've said this about the granite, but now I know it's different. And now I'm more precise with the stones like granite, basalt. I think, I hope, and it was very, very interesting. And then I discovered that that some people, scientists and maybe other people, because it's quite complicated when you touch history.
Right.
You are touching beliefs, and when you are touching beliefs, you go to emotional. Because I don't know what your beliefs are, but maybe your beliefs in that aliens make the world, or God, or science, or amoeba, or whatever you want. If you expose me, if we are talking and you explain me your point of view, I say, okay, I agree with you or not, but I don't have to feel nervous and say, oh, it's silly things you are thinking. What you know, it's I don't have to try to make you be. Or let think people that you are ridiculous, you know?
Right.
You say you are believing this. Okay, maybe you have some information, some facts I don't have. But I don't have to feel nervous, because it's a rational discussion, okay? Each time you have some people start to laugh, start to cry, start to talk louder, start to feel anxious, nervous, it's because you are touching his beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
Because on the ground of reason, there's no reaction. There's no emotional reaction.
Well, once
so it make it make
No, I was just going to say one thing that I really did like that you approach this not from a historical point of view, but a more of a technical, scientific point of view. Because a lot of people, I do get it, because when you're trying to change a historical event that somebody that I'm going to give an example. It's like the American Indians, you know, here in America for years, we portrayed them as savages and all this. But once, you know, when you do more research and more history, and we realized that that wasn't the case, they were just people that were trying to survive and live, you know, in their own way. So unfortunately, that was not the way the history portrayed them. And the same thing, and I'm going to play a clip here in a second that really can show why I think a lot of history that was lost, because every civilization destroyed other people's history. And
of course.
And actually, if you don't mind, do you mind if I play that clip real quick and just show people?
Yes, on the libraries, on the library, the libraries.
Okay? Yes.
You think about, yes, of course, because history is written by the winners, always.
Right,
always.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty fascinating. So let me see if I can get this work here in a second. But
yes,
where is it at? Okay. But so, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yes, it comes from a very interesting book. Don't have the title in English, but these two authors have made a huge, huge work on the on the past, and it's Steinmetz. The book link to this, you can find this with Graham Hancock website,
right.
Some interviews there. Okay.
Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and play this one clip here. Be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Knowledge has such a strong power that it is a target of choice for conquerors throughout history. In that respect, as revealed by the author Selby and Steinmetz, the Persians burned Egyptian temples and writings in 527 BCE, and 40 years later in 490 BCE, they burned many Greek writings. Wars led to more wars and the need for revenge. In Persepolis, in what is now Iran, in 330 BCE, the Greeks, led by Alexander the Great, destroyed 12,000 written volumes produced by the Magi. One century later, in 214 BCE, the Emperor Qin Shi Huang, who inherited one of China's seven kingdoms, subdued the other six and ordered the destruction of all their books, including some by Confucius. In 146 BCE, the Romans come onto the stage and destroyed 500,000 Phoenician parchments in Carthage. Then in 52 BCE, Julius Caesar ordered the destruction of all the books of the Druid College. A little later, towards 250 CE, the Great Library of Pergamon is said to have been destroyed by Christian fundamentalists. But it should be known that Mark Antony is said to have already gifted to Cleopatra in 41 BCE 200,000 books from that library. In 270 CE, the famous Library of Alexandria, holding 400,000 to 700,000 books, depending on sources, was burned by the Romans. And to wrap up this dark period for the memory of knowledge, in 391, Theophilus destroyed what was left of the Library of Alexandria, said to have still contained 42,000 books at the time. These events, covering only a short historical period, allow us to understand why we have so little information on antiquity.
So to me, what that is showing is, I mean, we lost a lot of history.
It means that mankind is so kind.
Right.
It's always there. Yes, it's always the same story. So have you seen in BAM, we are talking about the Antikythera mechanism. And what is very interesting with this mechanism is that according to history, it is not supposed to exist, because Greek were not able to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And when they found some books that were talking about this mechanism, and explaining is how it works, they say, no, it's bullshit. Just some people, because they're nationalist Greek, and they speak about gods, a lot of things, but it's not true. And then we discovered the object, but it was due to the solar price. And the Nursula Prize has dedicated his own life to the study of this subject. And unfortunately, he died a few times before we can go through with the technology. Because what is very interesting is now we have the technology and the right technology, and we will have more and more that will make us understand all the sites. And we will have, with the new technology of datation, with the new technology of scanning, we will discover a lot of things in the few years. I'm not a prophet. It's just normal because we have started to do this kind of work with the BAM and back to BAM.
Right.
And when you use 3D scanning, it's just facts, no more.
Yeah, and I have to say, we'll have to go to that. Hold on, let me pull this up. I want to go to the caves, the Bara caves.
Oh,
oh my gosh! Oh. So tell us a little bit more about this, because we've heard of this before, but many of us have never, and because we don't really get to talk about India a lot. We mostly talk about Egypt, and which is great, and Machu Picchu and Göbekli Tepe and all that stuff, but we don't really talk about these caves when they're very significant. Can you tell us about the caves and what you found?
Yes, of course. I think this site is one of the best of the world because it looks very simple. But it's not simple. It's very good caves. The way I don't know how they did this, but and even I don't care. what interests me, why they did this. And this cave.
I think we lost him a little bit. He's zooming in from France, so he might be having some. A little bit of technical issues there. Patrice, you there? So until we get him back, so Patrice is a filmmaker from France. If the people have just tuned in, he has done a movie called BAM, The Builders of the Ancient Mysteries. You can actually watch it on Amazon Prime, and that's actually where I discovered it. And they get more into the scientific, the technology of the buildings of these structures all over the world. And so, I think we did lose him. And so he brought to us the technology and some of the greatest scientists from around the world. Some of them we've heard of, some of them we haven't. And what he has done is he has taken... even we were getting ready to talk about the Bara Bara caves in India, and they did a 3D scan so they can show how perfectly these caves were built. I mean, it's amazing how they created such a structure and so precise. So I'm going to actually show a video. Let's try this one. A video of the sites itself, the caves. So here we go. We are back. I'm Tony Sweet, and you're watching Truth Be Told. We're still having some technical issues of getting our guest, Patrice Pouillard, back on from all the way from France, and we're talking about some of the ancient sites. In fact, I don't know if you guys have seen, I'm starting a new segment called Truth Traveler. What we're going to be doing is, as I'm going on vacations and stuff, I'm going to be traveling around and filming some of these ancient sites through my eyes. And I started with Chichen Itza, and just giving some of my own point of view of what I see and how I'm no theory on how they were built, because that's not my expertise. But just some fun facts and some of my own experiences. The next one, in fact, I just got back from Dominican Republic. So I am going to be doing a new one coming out soon. It's going to be about the Taínos natives of the Dominica before Christopher Columbus landed in the Dominican Republic. We also, oh, there he goes. I think we're going to pull him back in. Let's get him back on. And, but please check out Truth Traveler as we, there he is. How you doing, Patrice? Welcome back.
I'm sorry. I hope it will be okay because there's some storm, a big storm here.
Okay, no problem.
So I am on my mobile, and I hope the connection will be okay.
Well, so far we're good. I was just explaining. I showed the video of the Barbar caves, and the 3D that you did, the 3D scan. And could you again explain the scanning, how that works, and how, and what did you, what conclusion did you come up with on your own study? And because it's pretty impressive of what they created and how they created it, and it was so precise and clean, and the polishing and everything was just perfect.
It's unique. Unique. There's no other place like this in the world. And so we have these five caves, and as we explained in Back to Bam, it's dated based, the datation is based on the writings, but we can't be sure that the writings are the made by the author. Mm-hmm. of these caves, because it's not well done. The same, there's a big contrast between the writings, the quality of the writings, and the caves. But it doesn't matter. There's a lot of other writings on the cave. Mm-hmm. But what we see is you have five caves with the five special shapes, as you have seen in the teaser, when you see the things in 3D made with the scans. You mm-hmm. see the blueprint. I was looking for the one. The blueprints with the on the ground and the shape of the ground, and these caves are as smooth as glass. They're very plain. It was so surprising, because when you go inside, you have the feeling that it's like you have put some windows, glass windows everywhere, and.
Right.
It was very strange, but we tried to measure the caves. But as you've seen on your picture, the walls are slightly inclined. It's about mm-hmm. 2.5 degrees, so it's very thin. But because of this, it was impossible to measure the caves. Hmm. So we decided to go back and to do these 3D scans, because it's the only way to have the perfect shape. Shapes of the caves.
Right.
And so we went back, and we were using a 3D scan that is a laser. It's a tool that is sending lasers, a lot of lasers all over the caves. And each time it impacts the wall, it creates a point. Okay.
Wow.
And you have at least about 40 million points.
Wow.
On each cave. Okay, so it's not 3D object; it's just a cloud point. Okay, it's the real shape. So that's why we let some things not so beautiful when you have some people waiting, sitting in front of the caves or
right.
some artifacts of the, because we wanted to the picture to be brute, rough. And we made this, and the company that was that has made the scan say, oh, look, it's they are symmetrical. And say, what? And they say, yes, they are symmetrical in the two direction.
Wow.
The fourth one, because the vibe with the complicated shape, it's not symmetrical when you have the cave like this. It's symmetrical in the length, but not in this side. And symmetrical, say, okay, it's the walls are inclined, they are polished like a mirror, and the caves are symmetrical. And the shapes, it was the first step. And then 3 years later, when we had the money to pay the analysis report, we asked the company to do all the, it's like when you order something, you say, I want these things to have, to be in granite and to measure 2 meter or
right.
other things. You say you are giving your conditions. So we wanted to get it in a retro and to say, they asked to the people what they wanted. So we want to know what they wanted. And then we discover some so amazing things. That's the precision of all the measure and the symmetry is so incredible. The picture you showed us before was when they analyzed the symmetry of Gopika cave, which is the fourth cave.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that the shape is more complicated. They put the left part on the right part and the right part on the left. No, it's the other one.
Oh, the other one? Okay. Let's do
that.
Yes,
the green part. Yes, this one. What you see in blue is the separation between the two parts.
Right.
And then the left part on the right part and the right part on the left part.
Hmm.
Just so reinforce the things. And when you do this, as you've seen, you have some points in blue and some
right.
points in red. It's some positive and negative part, okay?
Yeah, I was going to ask what that was.
So of course, there's some default. There's some things everywhere because it's not perfect.
Right.
But what you see on this is that 62.5% of points are exactly at the same place.
Wow.
With a precision of 2.5 millimeter. So we ask ourselves and say, how did they proceed? Because if you put back the previous picture, yes, on this, what we discover is that the wall, the big wall, because you have some curves
mm-hmm.
and you have some walls. And we thought that the walls were in front of them, but they were flat.
Right.
And in fact, they were not flat. They are parts of two circles. When you look at the blueprint on
right.
the ground, it's two circles. And they have a radius of 120 meters.
Mm.
And so, because it's going slightly inclined, it's two part of two cones. Is it the right cones? When you have an object that's going like this.
Right.
Yes, okay. So it's two cones together. And what we discover is that the line on the top of the cave, we thought it was parallel to the ground. But it was not parallel to the ground. It was slightly in curve. It's a few centimeters on the more than 10 meters long. And yes, you see on this, when you see in at the right of the pictures, you
right.
see first the center of the circle of, because it's part of a cylinder.
Right.
But not a cylinder because of what I said before, because it's not a cylinder. It's like a, it's difficult for me to explain. It's like I will try to show you it with my hand. But what you see, you have a cross in red, and
right.
the center of the circle, it's 50 centimeters under the ground. So it means that if you wanted to put some rope and to use some rope to fix it, attach it at the ground, and then to verify your circle.
Right.
You can do this in the other case, but in that one, you can't do this. So you see, there's only curves on that case.
Right.
And this case is symmetrical.
Wow.
And so we said, oh, we can't see this particularity with the naked eyes. So we went back to Baraba last year before the lockdown, just before the lockdown, and we were very lucky to went there before this. And then we try to see all the defaults, all the things we didn't have. And now we have the report, we have the analysis. And then we see, okay, yes, it's slightly incurved. And we say, we ask to ourselves, but how they make to verify the precision, because we had to use 3D scans.
Right.
And you have some people that go into something. You're not putting some stones, and then you can measure and you say, okay, I can move my stone on the left, I can move my stone on the right, and then, okay, my measure is okay. No, you have to dig. But if you dig too much, your cave is dead. And if you are not digging as you plan to dig, your cave is not symmetrical. So I don't care the tools. Even with the tush broth, if you want, with the sand, with people scratching with their hands, I don't care. But why they did this?
I was going to say, what was this? What was the purpose of this cave? Do we even know that? And do they know what tools they could have done or used to create this? It couldn't have been picks. I mean, do we even know that answer?
No. We suppose the archaeologists say that this cave has been, this five caves has been made with the rudimentary tools. Okay, but you need at least iron steel. Because granite is very strong.
Right.
They say you use that tool, and they say the purpose is to, I don't know the word, is to make people, protect them for the rain. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So they say they have dug these five caves to protect people in the monsoons. And because it's cold, so they have to they need a place to go.
Right.
But it's quite ridiculous because the caves are very small, and you don't need to have a mirror polished surface. You don't need to have inclined walls. You don't need to have same symmetry. And they say that these people were not interested by singing or by music. So if you find some sound effect, it's just by chance. They were not interested by this, okay? But when you go inside, because you have nothing, no light, it's very dark.
Oh, really? I bet. I don't see any windows in there, so I'm sure it gets pretty dark in there.
Yeah, so the picture you see on what we have made it with the special camera, which is very... We can shoot in the dark. Because if you, maybe you have seen in BAM, we have shown that when it's normal, and when it's normal, it's very dark. But the thing, when you go inside the caves, it's
right.
The sound. Yes, the sound goes straight to your ears, because there's some astonishing effects that there's no echo because of the inclined wall. Because if you have parallel wall, the sound is going like this. And so
right.
I say, and you are, And then when you go in this cave and you say, it's, and the voice is going more and more. It's going back to you 60 or 18 percent louder.
Wow.
Yeah. So we say, oh, it's very strange. This is the first thing. And there are some particular points inside. And there's very, very strange effects. But the question is, was this effect a demand? I don't know if it's a thing asked by the creators of the caves, or is it just by chance because they have made some shape, that shape, and of course you do any shape you do in the granite,
right,
or in the stone, you go inside and you make some voice and you will have some effects, okay? The question is to know if it's decide if it's wanted or not, okay?
Right.
If it's
right.
intentional or not. And that's exactly on what we are working. We know the answer, but we want to have a scientific demonstration. For us, there's no problem because we have made some tests and we have seen that there are some frequencies, very precise, because the precision you have in the digging
right.
of the cave is this. You find this precision in the sound, and it's very, very precise. And you have some frequencies because we are doing now a new analysis in a very big company in France.
Uh-oh, we're starting to lose him. So Patrice is in France, and he's having a storm, so that might be some issues there. Oh, can you hear me, Patrice? You're cutting out a little bit. Uh-oh, we might be losing him again. If we lose him, we'll definitely put the link to his movie, and let's see if we can get him back here real quick. Well, what I was going to suggest to Patrice, I don't know if you guys know, you know, I'm sure you know Scott Walter, you know, forensic geologist. I think he would be a good fit and a good match to be a part of this project, because with all these stones and, yep, we lost him. So all these stones that he's working with, I think Scott could come in and maybe help out. We're trying to discover some of these questions that have been thrown out there, and get some answers to the questions. But we only have a few more minutes anyway, so unfortunately we're probably going to be cutting off here in a second. But we want to promote his website. I'm going to put it in the chat room. You can go ahead and check out more about Patrice and his projects. Please, if you guys have Amazon Prime, oh, here he comes back. We'll at least close it out with him. But if you have Amazon Prime, look it up. You can watch the movie, and it's a great movie. And I think they have some new projects coming up that might be able to answer some of these questions. There you are. He's back.
Yes. And now there's sun, like always.
Well,
after a storm, because
right?
The world is now in a big storm. Mankind is now actually in a big storm.
Oh, so the big storms
we
are coming.
Yes, we have to think. And when I speak about the storm, is that the way the actual situation all over the planet.
Right.
And so it's like a lesson of the nature.
Hey, it happens.
Okay, there's always sun after.
Yeah, it happens. But we only have about 5 more minutes, and I want to ask you this question because and we're going to probably have to have you back because there's a lot of sites that we didn't even get to touch on. And I'd love to have you back to talk about those.
With pleasure.
Oh, yeah. And the caves itself, since we really don't know what they were used for, but were there ever like petroglyphs, hieroglyphs? Was there any type of scrolls that, you know, explain what they're built for? Was there any like... artifacts found in the area? I mean, what? Nothing.
Nothing.
That's strange.
They're just the writing inside the cave, and it says this cave has been made by I don't know, and it's by made for the Ajivikas to protect them for the weather. It's like this, quite of an inscription. But you see, as you will see in BAM or Back to BAM, Back to BAM is the new movie. It will be released on September.
Great.
But before there's BAM, and Back to BAM is a 1 hour movie going deeper into the most subject, the most interesting subject in the movie. And as you will see, there's different writings. You have writings for 300 years BC. Right. You have a writing for 300 years after in our era, and right. 500 years. And so each time people, they went and they put their name and it was like a joke for us, because when you go to Gopika, there's a lot of people has written their name all over the world. So Baba, Gigi. Maybe. We don't know, but there's no explanation at all. It's the first caves in India, the first, not caves, but made. It's not natural caves. It's cave that you have dug. Okay, you understand? It's the first artificial caves. Okay.
Right.
And these artificial caves can't come from nowhere. You can wake up one morning and say, okay, I will do five symmetrical caves.
That took a while.
With polished walls. And say, okay, I want to do this, and I do this. Okay, so you are believers. You can think it's possible. You just have to think about something, and then you do this, because they always explained this in the past like this. The Egyptians, the same. There were nomad tribes in the desert, and they start the civilization. What we can do? Let's do some pyramids. And then they start to do some pyramids, 100 meters base. And you say, oh, but what? How did they you can decide one day to put to build a pyramid, and then to succeed, and it's all success. And the cave is the same, and you will see 300 or 400 years after the datation of the Barbar caves, you see some very, very rough caves, not polished, not symmetrical, not plain, no inclined walls. And they say, look, they are doing some caves again. Wow. What you say? But it's not at all the same. So these caves are unique, and it's the only place in the world when you can find this. And when you study this case, and then you work on the numbers, the dimension, the shapes, then you see, okay, it's a huge, huge work to achieve this in the granite. So if you do this, the purpose is at the same level at all the efforts, the works you have. It's difficult for me, but you understand the point.
Right.
It's at the same level. If you build a big pyramid like this, it's not to show to the world that you are the best king of the world ever. Because if it was the case, you will find the name or statues of Cheops or Khufu and the Great Pyramid everywhere, but there's nothing. And there's what you will see in BAM is that the datation say that there's difference between the Machu Picchu and the Inca culture,
right,
and the Egyptian. But when you go and you look very closely to the fact, to the datation, to the things, you say, oh, but there's two styles here. That's a very rough and big and with huge stone without cement and blocks put together. And then you have some small walls and everywhere the same.
Right.
So, yeah, just to finish, and we put on the table the question, are we really the first advanced civilization?
No, I don't believe
because
that.
Because you will see that Grammont Cook has told about this, there was a big event, cataclysmic event, that was in France. It was the Tardiglaciaire, the Younger Dryas, and it started about 13,000 years ago, and it lasts for 1,300 years, maybe. And in these cataclysmic events, the earth has changed drastically. The ice on the north of the world has melted down. I don't think yet. Go back to water.
Right.
And the climate has changed. The Sahara was a jungle and a forest, and it became a desert. And there were lots of animals, 35 animals, big mammals like mammoth, the tiger with the great teeth, and they disappeared. And the level of the ocean, it's the most interesting thing. Go 100 meter on 100 meter on 20 meters higher than it was. So it's like, as Grammont Cook said, it's like Europe and China going through the water. So they say, okay, if there were a big civilization before us, where are the traces?
Mm-hmm.
And you say, maybe we have now to look underwater. And if you see, and if you go underwater, like Graham went in India with the Kumarikandan legend and city,
right?
I mean, you see some things. So yeah, the subject is very
it's interesting.
A lot of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely interesting. And I think, you know, there's a lot of times these ancient cities are built on top of older cities. So, you know, we don't know. We can't destroy ancient cities to go and look underneath to find even more ancient. So we don't know what's still out there. And that's why I find it interesting. We're constantly finding new human-type species. We find new ancient cities and new artifacts constantly. And I think...
Yeah.
You know, and as for change, I think, you know, the earth is changing again. I think it's going through another phase unfortunately, we don't know what the next step is. right. So, yeah, it's, you know, the old, I don't know if they had it over in France, but we had a commercial back in the 70s and 80s. Where it says it's not nice to fool with Mother Nature. And so I think Mother Nature is going to come back and bite us in the ass one of these days anyway. So,
but this
definitely, I would love to have you back, especially with the new one coming out in September.
Yeah.
Will you come back maybe and we can talk about the new project? Because again, we have so many sites and so many things to talk to you about.
Yeah, with pleasure. Great pleasure.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Tony.
Oh.
It was nice. It was nice. It was short because we can't speak about this for hours.
Please. Yeah. We need to make this a longer one.
Step by step. Step by step. We are going straight to the science. We are using very advanced tools because we need some numbers. We need some... percentage of margin of error.
Mm-hmm.
We need some scientific thing, and then with this we can discuss with the scientists, because we are convinced that the science will recognize another science.
Right.
So
yep.
I think we have a lot to discover with this, and maybe it will start with the Baraba. We hope that a lot of scientists, a lot of people, that we focus on the Baobab caves and go to visit them and doing some pictures and show these caves to the world. They need to be known because
we don't hear about
when
them
people
a lot.
Will understand. Yes, when people will understand this cave, they will recognize this science. And what is very important now is that you're going to your future guided by the past. Mm. So if you change the past, you change the future.
Oh,
and it's very important now to go in another narrative. And this narrative is about the mankind that is not just some people making wars all over the time, burning libraries and burning people and destroying a lot of people. No, because we are at least for 300,000 years as Homo sapiens, and the story told is just about the 5 or 6 thousand years. So it's not part of the story, and the story is not correct. And you will see in BAM with the Carl Supe in Peru, the story is not correct because maybe we are not as we think we are.
Yeah.
We are good people, are human, and we are not just fighters, and we are good people. We can make and build a lot of things like the pyramids because we don't think it's aliens or no, it's human people. And what we want to focus on for the spirit of the people, the mind of the people now, is to ask themselves the question, what are we doing now that will make people in 200 or 500 years say, wow, the people of the 21st century were the very good people. They were, wow, so amazing. So I think it's interesting to think about this.
Oh, I
know.
Particularly
at this time.
Yeah, I constantly think about stuff like this. I find this stuff fascinating. And you can actually go to Patrice's website. It's called BAM-investigations.com. It's in French and English, so make sure if you don't speak French, you click on the English version. But we're gonna have him back in September because there's another documentary coming out. And that gets into a little more technical or more scientific details. And I know there's a couple people that I recognized as some of your experts. Can you tell us some of the experts that are going to be on your documentary?
On BAM or
on BAM?
On BAM.
On BAM,
there's of course Graham Hancock, because he's
amazing. Graham Hancock.
I'm not a researcher myself.
Right.
I'm just putting together the things.
You're
and,
the filmmaker.
Put some orders inside because you can't say, oh, it's big, oh, it's big, oh, it's big, oh, it's big. Oh, Atlantis. Okay. You have to explain and to put this in order and to show. It's like in science demonstration. So there's Graham Hancock, a little Chris Dunn. It was at the time, so a little tired, but I enjoy very much, I like very much Chris Dunn because he's a very nice guy and humble and an engineer, and he's not interested by success or things like this. He's passionate with the precision. And then you have some French guy, you have a geologist, who is very courageous because he had a lot of trouble going to participate in our movies, because in France there was no word at all in the mainstream media. The movie has made more than 100 million views all over the world.
Wow, that's amazing.
And, yes, it because it went out in 2011. So it was 10 years ago.
Right.
And nobody speak about the movie in France. So it was quite difficult for the scientists. And And then you have a stone cutter I used in the Revelation of the Pyramids, a modern stone cutter. And they say, but he's a modern guy. He can't understand anything to the granite, to the cutting or the digging of granite.
Right.
So I go and I say, okay. And I found a 40 years experienced guy, stone cutters with manual tools. And they say, no, but he's got a pink jacket and he can't speak about the subject because of his pink jacket.
Right, right.
So, like, yeah. And then you have the guys from Hublot, the French Swiss, the Swiss brand of watch, Hublot. No, no, Hublot. Maybe you say, and it's in Switzerland. They are one of the best watch engineers, and they were involved. They were involved in the Antikythera mechanism, and other people, but. And yes,
you definitely have some great people.
Yes, and for the following movie, because we are working now on the Barbara movie, we are open to any talent, any people that want to work with us, to think with us, because what we want to do with the Barabar movie that will be released on February next year, mm-hmm. in February or March, will be fully dedicated to the caves. And what we want, we will do a scientific publication with all our data. We will give to people all the rough 3D scans, the sounds analysis, all the things. And so we are very interested now to build a cloud, a brain cloud of people that are able to think outside the box and to forget that this cave has been dug 2,000 years ago. But you have to think we discover it in the forest, the pasture, for example. And then so if people want to think, want to work, want to consider the. It's open because it's belonging to every people in the world. It's
right.
Our heritage.
Well, we're gonna have to. Past. I'm gonna reach out to Graham Hancock, see if maybe he wants to be on. And also, have you ever heard of Scott Walter?
No, I've heard you talking about the no, I don't know him.
Yeah, Scott is he had a television show here in America called America Unearthed, I think, or something like that. But anyway, he's a forensic geologist. And so he's and one of the most amazing guys you could think of. And I think he would actually be a great one to get involved in something like that because of the being able to date back, you know, the carbons of those stones and this and that. But he's a very big history buff too. So, I'll have to introduce you guys,
it would be nice.
Yeah. Patrice, thank you so much. And thank you for taking the time out of your day and, being a part of Truth Be Told, and you're going to come back. I'll be emailing you very shortly to schedule another time. So, please.
It was really nice to me.
Of course.
The next time, the connection will be better. Okay. I will be at my office. Okay.
Wonderful. So, wonderful.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much, Tony. And thank you very much, you people. I can't see you now, but for you people that are interested by thinking about the subject. So,
of course,
bye
bye. You take care of yourself, and everybody, thank you for tuning in and being a part of the chat room and supporting Truth Be Told. And please support Patrice and his filmmaking, because it brings, you know, people like us. We love this stuff. So we want more and more of this content that you're creating. So but until next time, I'm Tony Sweet with Truth Be Told. Please take care of yourselves, and thank you so much for supporting us. Take care of yourselves. This has been another episode of Truth Be Told. Thank you so much for watching. Recorded live at UBN Go Studios in Burbank, California. Join us on social media. Facebook, Truth Be Told Radio. Instagram, Truth Be Told Paranormal. Go to Truth Be Told Worldwide for more information on upcoming shows. This has been enough.